hall that they tower over buses, and that's basically this part of Japan. So this area globally sees some of the most snow out of everywhere on the planet yearly. So by the end of the season, that's when the snow is, you know, taller than a double-decker bus. So a huge tourist draw there. Okay, let me drop it, and we're going to talk about Storm Blair. So yeah, Northern Europe, in particular Scandinavia, it was hit by a very strong storm, dubbed Storm Blair, and this is the name was coordinated with the 2025-2026 windstorm season. And the storm, it brought heavy snowfall and damaging winds to the wider area. Folgefonna, Norway, I hope I pronounced that correctly, they recorded an extreme wind gust of 224 kilometers an hour, 139 miles an hour. This is a higher elevation area, so there's some funneling that may be occurring, which is why the wind gust was unusually high relative to all the others, or there could have been a bit of a sensor malfunction. Still, 224 kilometers an hour, 139 miles an hour, that's a very, very strong gust. The gusts weren't that high with the rest of the storm. Sweden, coastal areas and highland areas, they were seeing gusts of 140 kilometers an hour, that's 87 miles an hour. And the Shetland Islands, they recorded gusts of 115 kilometers an hour, that's 71 miles an hour, as the storm went towards the Barents Sea. And the general impact from this, Faroe, Sweden, the winds were actually strong enough to tear roofs from buildings, and of course power lines came down as well. And at one point there were over 40,000 households that didn't have power. So it was pretty significant as far as a winter storm goes. Very, very powerful. And in Africa, they're still getting some heavy rains in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Mozambique, and that's pretty normal for an intensified rainy season. But as a result of the rains, there's been localized flooding in both of those countries, in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Mozambique. Let me drop it. South America, not too much going on. I was sort of looking high and low, but I thought it would be a little busier, but it wasn't. Argentina, they're sort of the one place that has been seeing some severe thunderstorms. There were over 230 reported. So the way the National Weather Service in the U.S. or the Environment Canada receives reports for storms, their meteorological service does as well. So there were 230 reports of you know, winds, hail, things like that, so different events with a broader low-pressure system that went through and brought thunderstorms. Of those reports, there were two reported possible tornadoes, but I haven't. It's really hard for me to get information. It's just not as easily accessible down there. But there were possibly two tornadoes recently, so it's been pretty busy down there. But other than that, the rest of the continent has been pretty good from what I can tell. Okay, now we're going to talk about some heat. Let me drop it. Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey Expert for ID. And we have a lot of people that take part on the net from Australia. And, of course, Australia, they've been sort of at the center of an extreme heat contrast over the last week. So Western Australia, they've had historic record-breaking heat. And that actually made Australia the hottest place on Earth on Christmas Day, so I'm pretty sure they, I mean, it's a shock, but believe it or not, they had a green Christmas, if you can, maybe a brown Christmas. They did not have snow on Christmas, I can't believe it, why? Whereas in the southeastern areas of the country, they had quite a cool summer. It was almost like a winter during summer for them. Melbourne actually saw its coldest Christmas day in two decades. So let's look at the numbers over here. So on December 25th, Western Australia, they claimed the top 15 hottest locations globally, and the record was 44 degrees Celsius. That's 111.2 degrees Fahrenheit. That was the highest temperature on the planet for Christmas Day, and that was in Geraldton. Let me drop it. VA3VWX4ID. So in Geraldton, they got up to, like I mentioned, 44 degrees Celsius, 111.2 Fahrenheit, so you could just about cook a steak on the hood of a car over there on Christmas Day. You didn't need to fire up the grill, especially if you wanted it medium rare. You just needed to throw it on the driveway. Perth, they were also really hot, 42.1 degrees Celsius, 107.8 Fahrenheit, and that was the hottest Christmas since 2021. And Marble Bar, which actually has the reputation as Australia's hottest town, they peaked at 46.2 Celsius earlier in the week, 115.1 Fahrenheit. But like I mentioned, on Christmas Day, Geraldton beat them out. But earlier in the week, they were hotter, so 46.2. And I think that was set on Tuesday, I believe. So very, very hot. There were also some other records that were broken. Cape Leeuwin, they broke a 120-year-old record on Christmas Day. They got up to 39.6. And that's the highest December temperature ever recorded there since records began in 1905. Windy Harbor, they broke a 39-year record, getting up to 38 degrees Celsius. And Perth, they set a new minimum temperature record on the morning of December 25th, with a high temperature, with a minimum high temperature of 26 degrees Celsius. And that broke a 110-year-old record, which was set in 1915 at 25.9 degrees Celsius. So they broke it by a tenth of a degree for the warmest Christmas morning ever recorded in the city. Let me drop it. So while those areas were cooking, there was a bit of a... the Australians were calling it the Southeast Deep Freeze. I have to apologize to everybody in Australia, but I don't really think you guys know what a deep freeze is. But anyway, Melbourne, they barely survived. They had a high of only 17 degrees Celsius, that's 62.6 Fahrenheit on Christmas Day. And that's the city's coldest Christmas since 2006. Tasmania, they actually saw snow flurries on the peaks of the Central Highlands on Christmas morning, which is actually rare for midsummer. And Canberra and Sydney, both cities saw, milder, pleasant conditions in the mid to high 20s, which was much cooler than that 42 degrees Celsius reading in Sydney a week earlier on December 19th. So a bit of a mixed bag there. The South was certainly cooler. I guess by Australian standards, that's a deep freeze, but I think if they came over here, they'd understand why I wouldn't, by no measure would I call that a deep freeze. And as a side note, the fire danger, because it's been so hot and dry in parts of Australia, Pilbara, Gascoyne, that's West Australia, bushfires have been reported east of Perth, and most have been contained as of Boxing Day, but still there's a much, much elevated fire risk. And, Western Australia, with all the heat, their power grid, was stretched during the Christmas period there, so very, very different from what we're getting in the Northern Hemisphere. Let me drop it. This is Victor Alpha 3. Victor with the X-ray 4 ID. And let's quickly talk about who got a white Christmas. Shock and surprise, for the most part, Australia, I don't think by any real measure had a white Christmas. Maybe the high elevations in Tasmania, you could have scraped something there and said that might be a white Christmas. But by and large, shock and surprise, I know Australia did not see a white Christmas. New Zealand did not see a white Christmas. And basically, most of the Southern Hemisphere did not see a white Christmas. However, there was one place that I should mention that did see a white Christmas, and they actually reliably see white Christmases. Let me throw this out there as a bit of a quiz question. Is there anybody out there who can take a guess? Where is it in the Southern Hemisphere that reliably sees white Christmases? Let me drop it. Let me see if anybody has an answer.
More in the Andes.
Okay, I should specify, where is a populated, where is somewhere that humans permanently settle that sees a white Christmas reliably in the Southern Hemisphere?
Chile, perhaps.
Okay, it's a little further south than the southern tip of South America. Anybody want to make a guess?
Antarctica. KB3JQ.
Tasmania. Argentina.
All right, Victor Alpha 3, Victor with the X-ray returning. We had a lot of good guesses. Somebody said Antarctica. Broadly, yes, but specifically within Antarctica, Vostok Station, they're the one place that reliably sees a white Christmas because they're reliably below freezing, in fact, significantly below freezing during their summer period. They're abysmally cold in their winter period, but in the summer period they see minus 30s to minus 40s. That's not uncommon for them. So they're the one place that reliably sees a white Christmas. Okay, outside of that, and by the way, a white Christmas is typically defined as 2 centimeters of snow on the ground, so about an inch, let's just say just under an inch of snow on the ground on December 25th. So in Canada, the prairies were lucky, Northern Ontario was lucky, Quebec, most of Quebec had it, and the interior of British Columbia, so Kelowna and Prince George, Thunder Bay, Timmins and Sudbury in Ontario, Quebec City, Montreal, and Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Regina, Winnipeg, they all saw it. Brown Christmas for us here in Canada, Toronto, came a day late, it came on Boxing Day. Ottawa, not great, they were mostly brown. Vancouver and Victoria, rain and mud. And the Maritimes, Halifax and St. John's, they saw mostly rain due to the Atlantic thaw, so they sort of missed out. The other half of Newfoundland, they lucked out, but the eastern half did not. And in the U.S., Minnesota, Wisconsin, they saw white Christmases, so Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth. Green Bay, Marquette, in the Rockies, Aspen, Steamboat Springs, Telluride. Alaska, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, Maine, Caribou, and Bangor, they had it. But surprisingly, the places that you would think might get it, the larger cities, Denver, like I said, they were 21 degrees Celsius, 71 Fahrenheit, so no snow. Chicago and Indianapolis, they were well above freezing with no snow. And the Northeast Corridor, so New York, Philadelphia, and Boston, they were all green. They got snow late on the 26th in some of those places, but Christmas was brown or green, depending on how you want to measure it. And in Europe, Eastern and Northern Europe, they enjoyed a more traditional winter, while Western Europe remained pretty mild. Finland, Rovaniemi, that's sort of the home of Santa. They had it, Helsinki, Turku, Russia, so Moscow and St. Petersburg had it, in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Tallinn, Riga, and Vilnius had it, Poland, Krakow, and Warsaw, they both had it, Norway and Sweden, Oslo, Bergen, and Stockholm, they had a white Christmas. The places that did not, in Central Europe, Berlin, Vienna, Prague, they were not white. In the UK, London, Edinburgh, Manchester, they basically had nothing, so they weren't white. And in the more Mediterranean climates, Paris, Madrid, and Rome, they were mild and sunny, so they did not have any white Christmas. In Japan, Sapporo, that's where all the beer comes from, right? Sapporo, the beer. They had a white Christmas, as well as Hokuriku and Niigata, they were buried, as I mentioned before. And in China, Harbin and Shenyang, in fact, a member of our amateur radio club here, he's in Harbin for the ice festival up there, which is a very, very impressive ice festival. And it was very cold. But the places that missed it were Seoul and South Korea. They had freezing weather, but there was no snow. And Tokyo in Japan, they were clear and sunny. And in, of course, in the southern hemisphere, like I was kidding, Sydney, Buenos Aires, Cape Town, they're in summers, they're not getting snow. If they get snow, there's a problem. There's a bigger problem we got to worry about than if they're getting a white Christmas or not. Let me drop it. So that's it as far as my white Christmas information goes. There was... a few things I wanted to mention. So I was looking for articles over the last week that were sort of published and came to light. I haven't had a chance to read these, but I just figured I'd throw them out there. I'm not endorsing or criticizing or anything with these journal articles. They've just come out over the past week, so I figured I would just throw it out there. The Overshoot Ice Age Theory, that's the first one, and that was a study published in Science on December 21st.